Right now in Boston, runners from around the world are assembling to run the 2014 Boston Marathon, which starts within the hour. This long-standing tradition in the running world is even more significant to its participants this year in light of last year's bombing of the event. A number of people from mid-Michigan are participating, and current state's Melissa Benmark caught up with one of them last week. Well, not literally. She doesn't run that fast. But she spoke with Lansing native Elizabeth Demers, who these days is an acquisitions editor in Chicago. Demers didn't get hooked on running until she was well into adulthood.
I started distance running at 35, roughly. I'd moved to Lincoln, Nebraska from Michigan, and I kind of dabbled in running a little bit in Michigan, but I'd never run a race. And when I moved to Nebraska, my new coworkers just signed me up for a race even before they met me. And so I walked the first one, and then I thought, well, I could do better than that. And so did another 5K, and I ran it. And then I was like, oh, I think I could do better than that. So I did a 10K, and I ran that. And then I finally got to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm going to do a half marathon. So I ran that. And then, you know, what's the next step?
That's amazing. I didn't realize they signed you up without actually checking with you first.
They needed an extra person on their company team, and they were like, oh, yeah, sure, she'll do it. You know, they didn't know. And I was so new that I didn't dare say, no, I won't do it.
So what kind of training then is involved to get yourself from there to the place where you could consider being in the Boston Marathon? I mean, what kind of daily or weekly routine do you have?
Well, it depends on every race that I run. So your training for a half marathon is going to be a little different from your training for a full marathon. And I think I ran maybe three halves before I actually finally ran my first race, which was the 2007 Chicago Marathon. And I found a training program from Runner's World, and it was 3 days a week, which fit into my life pretty well. And I had a pretty good race. And I thought, oh, okay, well, so I did another marathon, and I did the same training plan. And then when I did my Boston qualifying race, which was the 2012 Detroit Marathon, I used the Hanson's training plan, and they have a running store in suburban Detroit, and a really pretty radical training plan, and it was great. And so in that plan, you go out and run every day, and you run faster, but you don't necessarily run longer distances. In the first training program I used, you kind of built up to having, you know, your one regular run. You have what you call a tempo run, which is when you kind of run faster, and then you have speed work, and then you have a long run every week. So you kind of build up to your 20-miler, and the standard philosophy for running a marathon is that you have to build up to your 20-miler. And the Hanson's plan isn't like that at all. You run 3 16-mile runs before you go out and do your marathon.
And you're in Chicago now, so how in the world do you, especially with a winter, like if yours has been anything like ours, how do you train outside during?
Oh, it's been terrible. It's been absolutely terrible. I belong to a gym that has a track, quarter-mile track, so that's been really helpful. And the treadmill, but sometimes you just have to, like, gut it out. You know, you have to have the right gear. You have to have warm socks, and you have to have gloves, and you have to have an ear snuggie, and you have to, you know, have a windbreaker. So if you have gear, you can get out there and do it. But it's more psychological than it is anything else. I mean, it's a lot easier to not run than it is to go run, especially if the weather is biting you.
You mentioned when we were talking before this that qualifying for this Boston Marathon was on the complicated side, in part because of the bombing last year. What can you explain a little bit about that for our non-running lay people out there?
Sure. To get into the Boston Marathon, you have to run a time that is specific to your age and sex. So I'm 47. I had to run a 3:55 qualifying time. And at Detroit in 2012, I ran a 3:53:21. So that should be enough. But the cutoff really kind of changes every year based on how many people are trying to get into Boston and how fast they've run. So after the bombing, there was a huge groundswell of support for Boston, and people wanted to run it, and they wanted to support the victims, and they wanted to support the city of Boston. And I wasn't sure that I would even get in, even with what I thought was a pretty good cushion on my qualifier. And I ended up getting in by 1 second. So I'm really happy.
Wow. So you were already thinking about and working toward Boston 2014 before the bombing last year. Do you remember where you were and what your reaction was last year when you found out about the bombing?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting in a class. I was taking an all-day seminar that day, and I didn't have access to the internet, or, you know, I wasn't watching television or anything. And so I started getting all these text messages on my phone from people who knew that I had qualified previously, asking me if I was in Boston and I was okay. And I kept thinking, what's going on? What's going on? And I found out that somebody had bombed the Boston Marathon. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I couldn't get my head around it. Who would bomb a marathon? A marathon is the most inclusive kind of happiest place you can be. And it just really threw me. And at that point, I mean, I knew that there would be that huge groundswell of support. And so I just kept my fingers crossed that my time was going to be good enough. And I'm just really honored to be able to run it this year with everybody else and to be part of that crowd that is standing up against that kind of oppression. So,
do you think that because there was the bombing last year, that will sort of be in the back of your mind as a nervousness factor, or do you think that once you get there, there'll be enough for you to think about, you know, just doing the race? I mean, do you have a sense of kind of where that will be, where that
you
will
know,
put
I haven't
you?
Really even thought about the bombing and safety as a nervous creating issue, because the security is just so tight this year. They've changed a lot of rules. And, I mean, I think they've got that really well covered. And the Boston Marathon is such a huge thing in and of itself, even without that. So I do have nerves, but they're more about just, you know, having gotten to the pinnacle of racing. And I'm not going to win it. You know, I'm not going to be fast. I'm probably not going to requalify when I'm there. But I'm just so excited to be there and so kind of just nervous about, you know, being in the right place and getting where I need to go. And so there's all these logistics that you have to deal with. And I'm really excited about the race itself, the crowds and the towns that you go through. And it's just supposed to be so wonderful. And I think it's going to be just extra amazing this year because of everything that's been going on.
I seem to remember you were in the one Chicago marathon where it was really hot and people were just dropping and one runner died and people ended up in the hospital. I seem to remember some story with them telling you to stop and you wouldn't stop.
My first marathon ever, and I had, you know, I was really super nervous, and it was a huge deal for my life, and I talked to everybody I knew that I'm doing this marathon. It's going to be great, right? And, you know, I can't go out. I can't do anything because I'm running this marathon. And I get there, and it's a hot day, and I hadn't run enough to know that I was supposed to be worried about it because it'd been hot all summer, and I'd been training all summer. And so as you're running along, and it's a very slow race, and I didn't know any better, and people are sweating, and the aid stations are full, and there's sirens everywhere. And I was about mile 20 when we got this announcement that the race had been canceled. And if you were after mile 13, you could finish the race. But they were yelling at people to stop running. I mean, the police were standing in the streets and yelling, stop running. And I'm thinking, you know, this is my first race. I'm never doing this again. I'm never running another marathon. I'm not going to stop running. This is it for me. I'm going to go for it. I mean, it's also like 90 degrees, so you're not moving that fast, right? But it's still a lot. But it was chaos at that point, and it was surreal because they had helicopters buzzing the race and, you know, blaring out, stop running, the race is over. So we finished the race, and it was also really confusing on the course because they were taking aid stations down, but there were still runners on the course, and it was just kind of one of those crazy things. And I crossed the finish line, and I got my medal, and, you know, it counted as a race, and I thought, wow, I totally have to go do this again.
So just having that experience was not about to deter you, that sounds
I didn't know enough that I should have been deterred, actually. I think if I had been more experienced and just had, you know, a better sense of how it was supposed to go, I might have dropped out or done something different, but I just didn't really know enough, and I felt pretty good throughout the whole race. It was a slow time. I think I did a 5:15. It was my slowest race ever, but you know, when it's that hot out, you just can't expect to be fast.
Can you talk about some of the ways that you prepare mentally and physically for something like this?
Absolutely. I think running is 90% mental. And it's all about believing that you can do it and getting out there and, you know, having the courage to drag yourself out of the house every day and having the courage to drag yourself mentally through a race. When I did my qualifier in Detroit, it was hard. It was the fastest I'd ever run. And the last part of the race was just flat-on mental toughness. I mean, I know that's kind of a cliche. And I think that's true for any marathon. There's a saying that you run the first part of a marathon on your legs, and you run the second part on your training, and you run the third part on your heart, or something like that. And that's really true. For that race, I had a lot of confidence because I had trained really hard for it. And something kind of hit me a week or two before the race that I knew I could qualify because I knew I had done the training, and I believed in it, and I believed in myself. It wasn't just hope at that point. I run other races where I know that I can't break any records or I can't do anything, and that's fine, and you just go out and run for the enjoyment of it. But the hardest part about running, I think, is getting out and doing it mentally. Once you start, physically running isn't that hard. It feels great. You get through the first mile, and your body fires up, and, you know, everything kind of, the kinks get worked out, and it totally uplifts your mood. I go to these races, and I see people of every age, shape, size, every walk of life out running, and that's why I mean that running is so inclusive and democratic, because it's for everyone. It's not a big, I mean, racing can be kind of a financial commitment because marathon fees are expensive, but just getting out and running is not expensive. But for me, having the discipline to finish marathons and knowing that I could do that has helped me kind of finish some other things in my life and put some other things together. I had this dissertation that I'd been writing for years, and I wasn't sure I was ever going to finish. And I remember when I was finishing it, I was like, wow, I can do this, partly because I finished a marathon. And if I can run a marathon, then I can do anything.
Elizabeth Demers, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Melissa, thanks so much for having me on. I was just thrilled to do it.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.